stories you need to get your day started. These are Mad Radio's headlines on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Once again, the Indianapolis Colts have a very, very good pass rusher who may not be in his prime anymore, but certainly played fairly well last season in just 12 games. Justin Houston, a former Kansas City Chiefs outside edge rusher, signed a two-year, $24 million deal with Indianapolis, who had been quiet to this point. In free agency, he had 9.5 sacks last season for KC. In just 12 games, he had 78.5 for Kansas City over 8 years with the Chiefs. Guys, it's the big move for the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think he's the same guy that he used to be, but you bring in a guy like this, and the Texans have the offensive line issues that they have, the Colts just legitimize their pass rush.
It's the reasonable kind of veteran signing, and he's a different type of player than Vince Wilfork, don't get me wrong, but I think that's what the Colts would hope to get out of Justin Houston, is not the peak production that he had back in his heyday, because he hasn't been that same guy for the last couple years, but a veteran presence who can come in, can play versus the run, can give you a pass rush, and I think more than anything on that very young but talented Colts defense, offer a measure of veteran leadership. So I'm not terrified of Justin Houston, but I am a little concerned now that I feel like the Colts have definitely taken a definitive step ahead of the Texans in how much they've improved their team in the offseason.
It's a nice move. I don't know that it's a big move for Indianapolis. I would have been more afraid if they had traded for D Ford, which the ESPN story indicated that was actually a possibility. I think it's a solid signing for Indianapolis, but I'm not overly scared of it. The Texans still desperately need to improve their offensive line.
I think also, though, this has me thinking more and more, even though Houston's been off of the Chiefs for a little while now, of just what the Chiefs are going to be next year. If they might end up being the one that really takes a big surprise step back, not just a little step back, but a big step back. Given the fact that they've lost their two only pass rushers on defense, given that they might not have Tyreek Hill, they don't have Kareem Hunt, that it's just going to be a different team than you saw for the first 8 games last year where you're terrified of the Chiefs.
So we'll see what he ends up doing. As far as other news in the National Football League, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, I think some people are surprised that those two settled with the National Football League and their collusion charges for less than $10 million. Kaepernick's 2016 salary, for reference, was nearly $12 million, and a lot of people thought that he had gotten a lot of money if he was all of a sudden deciding to bend the knee, if you will, to the National Football League. Cap's agent also had said that Kaepernick would be signed within 2 weeks of said settlement, which apparently was, again, only $10 million.
Well, so the story said less than 10, which could be anything. So 10 million is way different than, let's say, $1 million.
I think either of those, it's still about the amount or less than that Kaepernick would have gotten if he were to sign as like a high-priced backup. And then definitely it's less money than he would have made as a starter with the team.
If I had to guess, I would think that more money is going to Kaepernick than Reed, but that's a pure guess on my part.
Right.
I mean, obviously one of the angles to this is that the media did a reckless job in speculating these really high figures a couple of weeks ago, which I can't really figure out why they did, because I don't know where they'd be getting, you know, 60 or 70 million from.
They were saying based on numbers in similar cases, but there are no
similar cases.
This has been one of the weirdest, most unique cases in sports labor history, I would imagine. I don't know where they got them. I would say all the stories I read always said, hey, we don't have a clue what it is. Some legal experts speculate this, but I think it's a huge surprise that they're way, way, way off. It does change perhaps anybody who accused Kaepernick of saying, wow, you really sold out, even though you wanted to go, say you wanted to go back and play football, you sold out for the big, big, big money, where this is more in line with, okay, well, it's actually probably less than you would have been making these last few years playing football.
Now, on the other hand, real quick, if Kaepernick felt, and I wouldn't blame him for feeling this way, because I'd feel this way, if he felt, hey, my time in the NFL is done, and my lawyer's telling me that it's going to be tough for me to actually prove anything at trial, this is the best offer we're going to get, I can see, quote unquote, even though it's about $10 million, if that's what it is, I can see settling for that.
Paul, did you say his agent thought that Kaepernick would have been signed within a couple weeks?
Two weeks, right, was the deadline that he assumed that Kaepernick would have a new home and a new team. I think he thought that the Miami Dolphins were going to happen. Remember, Miami signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Which is interesting given the whole Fidel Castro saga that Colin Kaepernick had when he was talking with Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald.
But he would have said that before Tannehill was released.
Yes.
Or traded. So, I guess...
I think people knew that Miami... People have known Miami was tanking.
Are that they tanking? Why did they sign Fitzpatrick?
They think they're tanking.
No, but Fitzpatrick is a non-tanking move. They would have just stayed with whoever they
They're tanking. You're masking the tanking.
They
can
win games with Fitzpatrick.
Maybe.
Okay.
They're tanking.
I don't think they're tanking. I think they're cleaning the slate. They're hitting the reset button.
They're tanking.
Fitzpatrick's not a...
Seth Payne works in the Miami Dolphins
That's
now.
Not an outright tanking move. Why would you sign a veteran QB that can actually win you some games?
I think the problem is they couldn't credibly go into the season with whoever their backup was. It was like Jake Rudock. Like they couldn't go into the season because that would have been too obvious. So I think they had to sign somebody.
So that's what tanking looks like, as opposed to the Giants, who you claim are hitting the reset button, but also bring in Golden Tate and whatnot, and have Eli.
Well, the Golden Tate thing I can't defend.
Okay,
can't defend that.
I think the Dolphins are tanking, 100%.
They are.
Because I don't think
that's just like in Dolphins fashion, they're doing a horrible job of it.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Totally. They probably shouldn't have signed Fitzpatrick. They are tanking, though.
Maybe they were trying to tank all these years with Ryan Tannehill. Why do you keep Ryan Tannehill around for 7 years? Well, they're bad at tanking. They're like, we're going to pay him a lot of money while we tank.
Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, number 32. Okay, so now we move on to the NCAA tournament. Yesterday was a fairly disappointing day as far as upsets go. If you were looking for one of them, the 10 seed Florida took down Nevada 70-61. 12 seed Murray State took down 5 seed Marquette 83-64. But for the most part, outside of Baylor, a 9 seed upsetting Syracuse, which I suppose is an upset, 78-69. A way to have faith in your boys, John McClain. It was a pretty boring first day
Michigan
of
State
the NCAA tournament.
I couldn't watch like the last 5 minutes of the Michigan State game, which was like the one that had a bunch of whole intrigue there.
It was close for a while. There are a bunch of games that were close for a while, but the top seeds eventually figured their bleep out, if you will, and then would cruise to victories.
McClain is a total fraud, by the way.
Oh, really? Why?
McClain's a fraud because McClain was on Tuesday with Landry and John, and he basically was dismissing Baylor men's basketball team completely in favor of the women. And then last night, after Baylor beat Syracuse, credit, they were the better team, no question about it. McClain is tweeting about how it's a terrific coaching job, a gutsy performance by their injured guard. Congratulations to the Baylor men. Where was McClain on this on Tuesday?
And he was completely out and down on Baylor when they were, 1.5-point dogs?
Yes.
It wasn't even, there was no reason to be that out on Baylor.
He was totally out.
You know what he did? He let his Twitter persona ebb over into his actual real-life persona for a little bit.
Yeah, kind of,
he must have forgot
yes.
himself. He thought he was on Twitter at that moment.
He forgot himself.
Twitter for John is like his id. It's like whatever he's feeling, not even thinking, just feeling whatever his gut reaction is, that's what he puts out there. And for a brief moment, I guess Baylor had him so stressed out that he went id on the prediction.
I can't watch the Syracuse team anymore. Listen, I don't know. I don't care what they have to do. I don't care what rules have to be skirted over. I feel like I'm watching an NFL team that needs to run the football like 35 times just to make it competitive. Give me some talent, for God's sake. Give me some talent.
I hate the zone. I hate it because when teams shoot well from three like Baylor did early on last night, that's what happens. You lose basketball games. Oh, well, Syracuse did well in the tournament the last couple of seasons. I hate watching them. Okay, the Houston Texans guys, they got their third-string quarterback / sixth wide receiver / special teams legend, Joe Webb. They signed him to a 1-year deal.
I like this move. I like Joe Webb. He's a good special teams contributor. He's a versatile player.
I like Joe Webb. Versatile. You know what I don't like? I don't like that Joe Webb is on the team specifically because he's versatile, and then when he goes in as a wide receiver, he doesn't know the plays. Honestly, I still don't get that or understand that. If you want to have all these guys that are, and I'm not blaming Joe Webb for it, other than that, hey, coaching staff, if he's the guy that's on the team specifically because he's so versatile, how about have him know a few plays before you go in?
Here, to me, is the problem. They had two slot receivers go down injured when Joe Webb was in as the slot receiver. Here's what O'Brien has to do, okay? If you have two slot receivers go down, here's a newsflash. Stop using a slot receiver or put Hopkins in the slot. Don't have a guy out there who doesn't know the plays, period.
Remember, that's not what you do. You keep running the same plays like they did with Xavier Suofilo as fullback.
Oh, God.
Remember?
Yes.
Let's take our least athletic offensive lineman and make him the fullback so the running back has to tiptoe behind him waiting for something. This has been a longstanding pet peeve of mine, is like the insistence on running the same plays with inadequate personnel when they weren't even working with adequate personnel. It drives me nuts. But I personally like Joe Webb. It's not his fault that he didn't know the plays. They didn't prepare him properly. It was an unprepared team because of the coaching staff.
I like having a big fullback like Xavier Sofila. What's wrong with that? You know, Vince Wilfork at fullback too. J.J. Watt in the shotgun.
It's always, yeah. All the whenever they do that, it always works out well.
The NFL is not ready for it, guys. They just got to do it this year.
Listen. J.J.'s got 7 torn groin ligaments and tendons. That's why the other team will never expect we're going to give him the ball.
Ever. They're going to think that you're punting. Okay, one last thing to wrap up headlines. This is a big game tonight for the Houston Rockets, who will host the San Antonio Spurs with tip-off at 7 o'clock. The San Antonio Spurs, guys, in case you did not know, a team that if you had pressed me, I would have a very hard time naming, you know, like 5 or 6 guys on said San Antonio Spurs team. They have won 9 games in... Excuse me, they lost their last game, but they had won 9 games in a row until their last loss. So this is a tough game for the Houston Rockets tonight.
They're favored by 6. I'll be intrigued to see how they play coming off the heartbreaking loss in Memphis. See how Capella bounces back from not a great performance. You're right, San Antonio's been better. It's a good test tonight.
Heartbreaking Memphis. Okay.
Time now, Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday for Positive Paul.
This malcontent millennial could make a glorious victory sound like the end of the world.
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
Who's negative about this person, negative about that person? Come on, dude.
But right now, he's changing his tune.
Sunshine, rainbows.
This is Positive Paul on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
It's the same crap.
Come on, smile, Paul.
I don't know how many of you guys were watching the NCAA tournament from the very, very, very beginning. But if you were watching the first game of the tournament, especially on KHOU, you might have noticed that there was a press conference for the good people in Deer Park as Intercontinental Terminals was trying to explain to people, and by trying to explain to people, they were answering questions and not really answering them, was trying to explain to people how that chemical fire took place. I want to play a clip from Alice Richardson before, who was the spokesperson for Intercontinental Terminals before she eventually was done with her press conference.
TC is very sorry that this unfortunate event, this isn't an event we wanted or planned. Many of my employees work in the city of Deer Park. They live in Deer Park. They're out there fighting this fire the best they can. They are residents. I would guess that probably 30% live in Deer Park in LaPorte. They're concerned. Their families are concerned. So, of course, ITC would apologize to any of them. Any more questions? That's it. Thank you so much.
So, Alice Richardson, again, the spokesperson for Intercontinental, I can't speak English, Terminals. Okay, so I don't want to dump on someone too much because I, after a while, legitimately felt bad for her fielding all these questions and probably being told that she's not allowed to answer any of the questions because eventually, as you just heard, she choked up. However, I am glad that I work in sports media because when I don't get an answer from Bill O'Brien or someone from the Houston Texans, it's no big deal. It's no sweat off of my back.
Can you imagine if Bill O'Brien started crying like at a press conference, like after a playoff loss or something?
I cannot.
So what is her position?
She is the spokesperson. Yes, the spokeswoman for Intercontinental Terminals.
I feel like this speaks to perhaps some of the issues that have plagued ITC that led to this disaster. Your spokesperson cannot be acting like that in a press conference like this. This is like
I agree with you.
Yeah, that's somebody that has like aren't they specifically in that position so you don't have somebody acting like that in the press conference?
I think the assumption is that you'd never have to have press conferences for things
you're
like
gonna
this.
Have to know there are accidents. Look, it's a dangerous industry. Like you're gonna have to, and then usually you get up there and you have to, you know what you have to be? You have to be like Luno in the middle of the tank. Like you get up there and you take the abuse and you take the hard questions and you have to answer them. But you first and foremost, you need to look steady. The worst guy, the guy that did it the worst, was the CEO of BP. Remember during all that stuff when he was off yacht racing and everything. And he went too far. He was like, "Hey, everything's groovy, right, mate? I'm gonna be off on a yacht race over here in France. All's well."
Everything's getting good. Yeah, we're just having tea and crimpets here.
I wonder, though, you know, is that going forward, like, if say you're overwhelmed at a press conference, do you get sympathy points by tearing up at the very end of your press conference? And I imagine the people in Deer Park are like, bleep off.
I think crocodile tears is probably the term that gets used.
Yeah. I'm a harsh grader.
Yeah.
I'm a harsh grader like Seth.
I'm just happy I don't work in journalism, because if I were at that press conference, I would have an aneurysm, I think. I think I would
I can
lose
see that.
My mind just hearing nonstop the answers of, yeah, we're trying to figure out what's going on. The word that they were using, their keyword, was dynamic. It's a dynamic situation.
But are they aligned?
They're trying to bring corporate buzzwords to the
this disaster.
PR disaster side of things. What are the latest? Oh, we're a multi-platform
synergy is happening right now. We're trying to solve your problems in Deer Park through synergy.
How are you guys planning to stop another disaster like this? Synergy, focus, alignment, and multimedia platforms.
It's a dynamic problem, and we have dynamic solutions.
Here's the whole thing. It's all about the cloud. You mean the cloud of toxic fumes? No, not that cloud. The other cloud.
The digital cloud.
Which cloud? You know, the one they're always talking about on the news.
Get it right. All right, as we move on through Positive Paul, speaking of aneurysms, holy crap, guys, did you hear what Emilia Clarke, who plays Daenerys Targaryen on Game of Thrones, went through over her time on the show? I'm just going to go through a bunch of the health issues that she had. So she had an aneurysm after season one of Game of Thrones. She had trouble remembering her name. She was in the hospital for a long period of time, and she said at one point...
The Khaleesi?
Yes, the Khaleesi. She lost the will to live because she was muttering nonsense at the hospital.
Jeez.
While she had the first surgery for an aneurysm where they basically like inserted something where they didn't have to drill through her head, they found that she actually had a potential second aneurysm on the horizon. So during season two, she thought she was going to die every minute of every single day. After season three, when she took a job on Broadway, she did a routine checkup, and the thing that everyone thought could be an aneurysm down the road had grown twice in size, so doctors, as she went for just a routine checkup, said that they had to operate on it immediately. The surgery failed, she woke up screaming in pain, and they had to operate again, or she might have died, and they had to do another surgery immediately. They drilled into her skull, and she spent a month in the hospital again with anxiety and panic attacks.
All raising dragons.
Yes. This is like what actually raising dragons, I feel like, could just be as dangerous. I'm not a big fan of Daenerys Targaryen's character, even though there's a lot of similarities perhaps to me, where she's like good intention, but at the same time has a really horrible temper. But there's no one who can play this character of Dany Targaryen, the Khaleesi, as well as Emilia Clarke has. So I'm very happy that she is somehow, some way, fought through all that crap to continue being the mother of dragons on Game of Thrones.
One of the anecdotes here in the stories that you mentioned is that she was, after season two, she was sipping morphine during interviews.
Yeah.
Is that a normal...
How do you sip morphine?
Is that a normal thing?
Is that way you take it?
I have never had morphine. I don't
believe.
Wasn't
it like some kind of cough syrupy type thing or something?
You've had morphine, I imagine, at some point.
Yeah.
Surgeries?
Like just one after surgery, but you got like a pump that you click, and you only get... The problem is... They're like, okay, it's regulated, so it'll only work 6 clicks in an hour. And I'm sitting there like, well, those first 6 clicks are gone after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're 55 minutes into that hour, you're all of a sudden turned into a junkie trying to talk the nurse into more morphine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morphine! Yeah, I really don't know how I would deal with just one of these things.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, so Khaleesi, a.k.a. Daenerys Targaryen, that is a tough cookie. Emilia Clarke, who plays her. And even if you don't like the character because she's cocky and arrogant and honestly just gets lucky at every single step of the way, Emilia Clarke is awesome.